This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello.
And Bridget, have you broken your New Year's resolution yet?
Not yet. I'm still going strong.
I'm still formulating mine, so I haven't.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I haven't broken it yet. But speaking of New Year's resolutions, one that you might, as a Catholic radio listener, consider is, if you are not already one of our supporters, maybe as a New Year's resolution, you could kind of plan to support Catholic Radio somehow throughout the year here, with a monthly donation if you can, or maybe just gifts from time to time, whatever works best for you. But Catholic Radio is listener supported, and we do very much appreciate the contributions from people like you. That is what keeps us on the air. So if you're looking for New Year's resolutions to make, that'd be a pretty good one.
Yes, and if you haven't joined our Facebook page, Catholic Radio Indy, if you are on the Facebook platform, just go to your Facebook page and then search for Catholic Radio Indy. We are the official Catholic Radio Indy page. And like us there, we're up to, I think we're over 800 right now, which is really great. So you can do that. So that'll be awesome. That could be another New Year's resolution if you're not already doing that. So today we are going to be talking about a really awesome event that happens every year in Indianapolis and really around the country. But here we're talking about the annual March for Life, and that is taking place here in Indianapolis on Wednesday, January 22nd. And our guests today to talk about that are Breanne Varick of the Office of Human Life and Dignity from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and Mark Tuttle, who is the president of Right to Life of Indianapolis. So welcome to Faith in Action. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Now, I want to get right into this topic. What exactly is the annual March for Life? Maybe give us a little bit of the history and maybe how it got started.
Well, the March for Life is the annual event to mark January 22nd, which is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which was the Supreme Court decision that unfortunately struck down laws against abortion all across the country. And so, honestly, the March for Life started out in Washington, D.C., the National March for Life. It started 1974.
I was wondering what year it started. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it started the year after Roe versus Wade. And Nellie Gray organized a march out there basically to petition the Supreme Court to reverse its decision the year before. And I think, you know, it's always tough because it's the National Park Service that kept these numbers for a while. And, you know, you can always question the numbers of the National Park Service, but you know, at least according to
how many rabbits are out there, how many deer, how many employees are even there.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I trust them to get that right more often than I get them, you know, the size of a crowd at a rally or a march. But they said 20,000 at the first march.
Mm, so that's still quite
exactly.
A few.
Yeah, for a first march, that's pretty good. So that has been going on ever since 1974. Here in Indiana, we've had a march. This will be our third annual March for Life. And
actually, I think that event has quite a bit of visibility. I mean, I've hear about it a lot and see it a lot. I thought it was going on longer than that, but 3 years. So you guys are doing pretty well too.
Yeah, 3 years. It started. I actually, when I was hired into this position, that was its first year. So I missed the first one, but so I helped organize last year the 2018 March, and it was pretty successful. I think we had about 800 to 1,000 people. I know the first year it looked like there was maybe 500.
Yeah, we had some pretty significant growth between the first year and the second year. Yeah.
So I'd like for each of you to talk about the mission of each of your organizations, obviously the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and maybe your office, the Office of Human Life and Dignity.
Yeah.
And I love that title because it includes so much.
Yeah. It used to be called the Office of Pro-Life and Family Life, and doing a inventory of, you know, all the offices of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. They kind of wanted to see, you know, what offices were in each title. And they renamed my office, the Office of Human Life and Dignity, to really give emphasis on the respect for human life from conception to natural death. Because when we think of, when, you know, we talk a lot about the pro-life movement, and that really people are, when they say that, they're talking about anti-abortion, you know, fighting abortion, the vulnerable in the womb. But pro-life also means from conception, the vulnerable in the womb, all the way to the vulnerable at the end of life as well. And so just to, you know, remind everybody that that's, you know, to be a pro-life Catholic, you really are fighting for the dignity of all. But I was talking to Mark earlier, and really, you know, Mother Teresa said it very well, that the fundamental is, you know, the vulnerable in the womb, you know. So if all these violences and acts of hatred are happening all over the world, you know, we can't really be surprised, because she said that if a mother is able to kill her child, then, you know, it's not surprising that we are able to kill each other.
Yeah, true. Mark, talk a little bit about the Right to Life of Indianapolis and its mission, and how it might be different or the same as what's going on in your office, Brianne.
Right. Well, our mission is actually, you know, on the face of it, it sounds very similar to Brianne's. You know, our mission is to promote respect for all human life from conception until natural death. So primarily we focus on the beginning of life and the end of life, abortion, and trying to keep at bay this looming crisis of euthanasia that's kind of gradually creeping in. But we are Right to Life of Indianapolis. So we are the Indianapolis and sort of central Indiana area. We encompass Marion County and then the seven surrounding counties around it. And you know, we primarily are trying to change the culture, and we're doing that by reaching out to the youth. We have Teens for Life groups in about 15 to 20 area schools, including most of the Catholic schools, but we also have some in some of the public schools as well. And then we do a wide variety of other things to impact the culture. In addition, we play a role as a watchdog group over the abortion industry. So we keep our eyes on what the abortionists are doing here in Indianapolis, and we try to make sure that they're following the regulations as they're there. And we also try to make sure that there's more regulations put in place, because, you know, if a woman is going to choose to destroy the life of her unborn child, she needs to know, I mean, she needs to be informed. She needs to not be coerced. She needs to not be pushed into it. And the reality is, the majority of abortions are that way, where it's, you know, the euphemism is choice, but when you really peel it back, very few of these women that decide to have an abortion, is it something that they feel they had much of a choice.
Now, you mentioned the youth groups. Do you find that when by the time a person gets to be a teenager, they have a pretty strong opinion one way or the other about abortion or no abortion?
You know what? And that's why we reach out to the youth. You know, there have been studies that show your moral conscience, your sort of moral construct of the world gets fixed sometime in your early 20s. So, you know, honestly, what you think is right, what you think is wrong, doesn't change much after, you know, you're 22, 23, 24, 25. But before that, there's a great deal of fluctuation, and you're influenced by your peers, you're influenced by your parents, you're influenced by the culture, you're influenced by all of these things going on. And so pro-lifers really have to have a voice in that process for forming young people's consciences. You know, the other advantage of reaching out to youth is when you look at those that are really going to influence culture, you know, your politicians, your lawyers, your doctors, your journalists, all of them are in one room in one place when they're in high school. And and so you can hit all of them by having an effective outreach to the youth.
And that's one thing I think that Right to Life of Indianapolis and Indiana Right to Life and a lot of the pro-life organizations have done very well at, also with the Archdiocese, you know, really working with the young people. And I mean, the young people are really on fire. I mean, they're actually kind of more bold than, you know, the older people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when you look at our march, it isn't even as dramatic as in Washington, D.C., but when you look at our march, there's a large, large number of teenagers and high school students and college students that come out for our march.
And I know even in the Catholic schools, like just even one that my kids went to, the sixth graders did something with, you know, putting flags out for all, you know, the babies that are aborted. And I think they put out like 3,000 to represent one day of abortion in the United States. And I think just something like that, just like a classroom activity where you do that, it really makes an impact on young people.
Yeah, they have those kind of activities. I know that St. Luke Parish here in north side of Indianapolis did that for the Life Chain. And we also do an event called the Vigil for Life, which is January 21st, which mm-hmm. is the eve of the anniversary of Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, talk about that, because we can talk about the lineup right now, what's happening with this
event. So the Vigil for Life is January 21st at 7 p.m. at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church, which is 126 West Georgia Street, downtown Indianapolis. And it is it's a program that's in collaboration with youth ministry and young adult ministry, and we really try to bring people in to target them, to get them interested. This year we're bringing in Sarah Kroger. She was the main worship band at NCYC this year. Mm-hmm. So she is a growing main name in Christian praise and worship music, and so she's going to lead prayer with Eucharistic adoration, and there'll be confessions, and there'll also be some witnesses on healing after abortion. So there'll be a couple volunteers from my ministry, Project Rachel, which is post-abortive healing ministry, who are going to share their testimony.
We're talking with Breanne Varick and Mark Tuttle, and we're talking about the March for Life, the annual March for Life here in Indiana. What do you think has the pro-life movement changed over time, or how is it, where are we at right now? I mean, it seems like there's been, things have changed over time. You know, it seems like there's more people involved, I guess. People are more aware, would you say?
Well, I think that's one of the things. You look at the marches, right? You look at the National March for Life out in Washington, D.C. You look at our march, which is still growing. You know, it's still kind of in its infancy. This is the third year that we're holding it. And you can really make a claim that the pro-life movement is the largest and longest standing civil rights movement in our nation's history. The ability to mobilize 400 to 500,000 people year after year to Washington, D.C.
Come from all over the country, rain or shine, freezing weather, terrible snowstorm, doesn't matter, right?
Right, right. You know, that's a huge credit to the staying power of the pro-life movement. And I think the pro-life movement has changed in degrees and levels of hope and optimism. So that very first March for Life that Nellie Gray, I think they sincerely thought they were going to be able to march, petition the Supreme Court, and have the Supreme Court reconsider their decision.
Yeah, and that was it. It was a one-time deal, right?
And then there was a period of time where there was a push for a national human life amendment that would be passed by Congress. And so there's a large effort to go lobby Congress to push this human life amendment. You know, that kind of came and went. Now we're in a stage where states have reasserted themselves. The courts and the Supreme Court have given the states a little bit more leeway to regulate abortion. And so there's pushes all across the country right now to pass pro-life laws. And so that, I think that's partly why you're seeing these local marches like ours start to pop up around the country, because we're following in the footsteps of a march in Springfield, a march in Chicago, a march in St. Louis, a march over in Ohio. I mean, there's marches all over, local marches all over the country, and it's because we've moved in the pro-life movement into a phase where we're taking this as a state by state battle. And part of it is, I think people are optimistic that the Supreme Court might kind of revisit Roe versus Wade sometime in the near future.
Well, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit maybe how technology's even changed this whole whole debate and whole education aspect of being pro-life. So we'll talk some more about the annual Indiana March for Life when we come back.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me co-hosting, and we are talking with Breanne Varick and Mark Tuttle. Breanne is from the Office of Human Life and Dignity from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and Mark Tuttle is the president of Right to Life of Indianapolis. And we're talking about the annual Indiana March for Life taking place right here in Indianapolis. And before the break, we were talking about how the pro-life movement has changed. And over the break, I wanted to mention something about technology, because I have a sense that when the ultrasound came out and people can see the baby, I think it really kind of diffuses the argument that it's a clump of cells or whatever. You get what I'm saying, that we're really talking about a human being. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that? And do you think that's changed the game a little bit?
Yes, Bridget, absolutely. I think that's what's
really... And you're
really
a nurse, right?
Yes, I am.
Not only are you... Yes. You've got multi-talented, so...
Yeah, an ICU nurse, but I do understand a little bit about reproductive technology. I know this has really helped in the crisis pregnancy centers, just the ability to get an ultrasound, and that's why it's so important. Knights of Columbus really advocate for and support pregnancy crisis centers, getting them ultrasounds. I think they've found that if a mother can see her baby, that really is a game changer. You know, that is what, you know, brings connection, and that's what our laws are fighting to try to make those conditions, those, you know, stipulations that if you are a center that provides abortion, that you have to do an ultrasound and let that mother see that ultrasound. And that's not always happening.
Right. There was a law passed here in Indiana a couple of years ago that required the abortion facilities to show an ultrasound, and it was challenged in the courts and was held up in the courts and is currently held up in the courts. The good news with that is the Supreme Court has spoken on that same issue in Kentucky. And so because of that, I think it's going to change the landscape within the courts as far as our law is concerned. But right now, our law is not in effect because of court challenges.
So what did they say in Kentucky? Uphold the law, or were they... What they say?
Yeah, the Supreme Court said Kentucky does have a right to require abortion facilities to show an ultrasound. So
then that would strengthen. I mean, if it was tested there and it went to the Supreme Court, I mean,
you know, I wish the court system worked that smoothly and easily, but it doesn't. So it you know, our law is still bottled up even with the Supreme Court decision.
And I think the a powerful moment in our culture today is the movie Unplanned and Abby Johnson telling her story and what made her conversion. I mean, she had her own abortions. She worked for an abortion facility, and she assisted in an abortion and seeing the ultrasound, you know. So that's what did it. So that that new technology really is powerful and is contributing to conversions.
You know, I think technology is also helping people connect to the resources in their area as well. You know, I think a young pregnant woman has more options now, and she's aware of her options a little bit more than she used to be in the past. And so she's able to get the help that's provided through Birthline and through, you know, other ministries that are out there to provide help for pregnant women.
And even not to get into a whole other topic, but even on social media, people see the pictures of the baby, an ultrasound baby, mm-hmm. you know, and even 3D in color. So it's like, wow, it's real. They see the age and all that. I want to get into the march. Just if you're joining us, we are talking with Breanne Varick.
Varick.
I'll get that right. Office of Human Life and Dignity from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and Mark Tuttle, who's the president of the Right to Life of Indianapolis. And let's talk about the march. It's there's events before the 21st of January, and then there's events the day of the march, which is actually the 22nd. So tell us about the vigil. Tell us about what happens before the march, Mark. I know there's a couple different services, and then the march.
So again, we're having the Vigil for Life, which is a Eucharistic prayer service. And we have headliner Sarah Kroger coming to help lead praise and worship music. That's at St. John the Evangelist, 126 West Georgia Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, with Father Rick and hopefully some other priests for confessions. Last year, we had about 600 to 700 youth, young adult, and people of all ages to hear, you know, to pray for life with Audrey Assad as well. And then January 22nd, we will have Mass for the local solemn observance of the anniversary of Roe versus Wade with Archbishop Thompson, Bishop Doherty, it's collaboration with Lafayette of Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana and the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, again at St. John the Evangelist, and that's at 10:30 a.m. on January 22nd.
And then there's another service going on, too.
Right, simultaneously. At 10:30 at the Convention Center, we'll have a non-denominational memorial service. We'll have Kathy Humbarger, who is president of Allen County Right to Life.
Yep.
But she was front and center working with Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, who was an abortionist in Fort Wayne. And after Dr. Klopfer passed away, there were about 260 unborn children that were found in his garage and in his car. It made national headlines. But Kathy had a relationship with Dr. Klopfer, and so she's got kind of a background on this. So part of our memorial service will be to memorialize those children specifically. And then we also have a rose ceremony to memorialize the 1.2 million a year that have died since Roe versus Wade. So that memorial service will be going on at 10:30 at the Indiana Convention Center across the street from St. John the Evangelist. And then after the two worship services, we will all gather along Georgia Street for the actual March for Life. And so the march itself starts at noon, and we'll march along Georgia Street to Meridian. We'll march up Meridian and then back across Market Street towards the Capitol, and then up around the north side of the Capitol and make a loop until we all fill into the south lawn and south steps of the State House for a rally for life afterwards. And we'll hear from several of our representatives and senators and others there for the rally after them.
Now, in the past, there have been organized bus trips to Washington, D.C., for people that want to do the Washington, D.C. one, and I know that's not convenient for an awful lot of people, which is, why you have the local ones, but are there efforts this year to do the trips to Washington as well?
Yeah, several youth groups, several deaneries are sending buses to Washington, D.C., so and the Knights of Columbus as well. The Knights of Columbus always send a couple of buses. I don't know what availability for seating still looks like on those buses, though.
Okay, but
so in terms of, are there any schools doing buses to come down to our march? Do you know of anything like that?
Yes, I'm starting to hear of some confirmed buses. I think, Mark, you told me that there was a bus coming from Evansville.
Yeah, the idea for this is that this is Indiana's March for Life.
Okay.
And so it's that idea is starting to take off. So we have a couple of buses, I think, coming from Evansville. There are obviously buses coming from the Lafayette area and from northern parts of our state. So we're beginning to become a little bit more of a statewide march.
And as you know, the Archdiocese is very expansive, the Archdiocese of Annapolis. So I have had inquiries from a bus coming from Tell City as well. If anyone has a bus, please contact me so we know that you're coming and we can help you with any logistics that you need.
Yeah, so not with the buses, but where do other people park? Like, where are you recommending people to park? Because that's always trouble downtown.
Yes.
I mean, where are you kind of referring people to? And people will be coming in at different times. They might want to just go to one of the services, or they might come just for the march.
If I could ever figure out a reliable place to park downtown.
But don't let that discourage you. We have a lot of the mall parking garages are good options. So we're also working with, it's called Gate 10, which is you can get purchase a parking pass and be all day parking, and they'll actually offer a free shuttle service to the Indiana Convention Center, so you'll be right there ready for the march. Working with the Archdiocese event coordinator to see what other options we can come up with. And so I think to know what the parking options are, there is a Indiana March for Life page through my office's website. So that is www.archindy.org/ human life and dignity, spelled out all one word all together, slash march.
Now, for those maybe handicapped individuals or elderly that might not be up to the whole march, they can participate at the events at either end of the march?
Absolutely. They're welcome to any part of the event. As we said, we have the worship services. We have the Mass at St. John the Evangelist at 10:30 a.m. and also the Ecumenical Memorial Service at Indiana Convention Center. Both have a handicap accessible ramps and
sure.
Mm-hmm. And people are welcome to stay after Mass or after the worship service and pray and pray in support of everybody else that's marching.
Yes.
That's such a great idea. Now who all can come out to this march, and do you need tickets or anything?
I mean, no tickets. And this is open to as many people as we can get. So the more the merrier. And also the march itself, we've got the worship services ahead of time, but the march itself is a civic event. So, honestly, to be pro-life, you just have to recognize the humanity of an unborn child. And you don't need to be of any religious affiliation to recognize that.
Correct.
So
I'm glad you brought that up, because right to life is not necessarily, it's a 501c3. It's not even necessarily religiously affiliated, though a lot of people are motivated by that. You don't have to be. And there are people that are part of your organization that maybe do not have any Christian faith at all,
right?
You know, or any faith at all. They think it's wrong.
Yeah. There's an Atheists for Life organization. There's a Pagans for Life organization. So there's a few organizations out there, but I think by and large, the pro-life movement is a Christian movement,
yeah.
And it's a heavily Catholic Christian movement at that. And so, when we have these events, they do tend to be very heavily Christian or Catholic.
But I had I had Lutherans for Life contact me last year, and we helped them, and they actually came to the first half of our Mass, and then they went over to the memorial service and then joined us in the march. So everyone who wants to recognize and uphold the dignity of the unborn, they're welcome.
Well, we're out of time, but if you could give that that webpage again for more information, we'll definitely put that on the podcast too. Briam, go ahead and
absolutely.
Give the webpage.
www.archindy.org/humanlifeanddignity, all spelled out, and /march.
And if nothing else, you can always Google annual Indiana right to life march or Indiana March for Life, and it'll come up.
Yeah, there's also information on Facebook. There's a Indiana March for Life event page that's connected both to Right to Life of Indianapolis's page and Breanne's page as well.
And I just want to mention real quick, there is an RSVP link on the website, but no ticket is necessary.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Breanne Varick.
Varick.
And Mark Tuttle, thanks so much for being our guest today, and God bless you. We'll see you at the march.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.